Now, in his 2016 book, We the People, Insights of an Activist Judge, activist and former Constitutional Court Judge Albie Sachs builds on South Africans' renewed faith in the power of the Constitution. We the People takes readers back to the broad-based popular foundations of the Constitution and the Freedom Charter. And the book picks up on Oliver Tambo's original vision of a non-racial future and explores the tension between perfectibility and corruptibility, between hope and mistrust at the centre of all constitutions. It was that book, We the People, Insights of an Activist Judge, that would form the subject matter of my very first interview on this station in October 2016. Justice Sachs was my first guest on my first foray on Cape Talk, and I was nervous. I don't mind telling you that now. I think I had a sleepless, well, it was a nighttime show, so I had a anxiety-filled day. I remember turning up at the studio probably about 9 o'clock. I think I only went on air at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. Quite how I managed to convince Justice Sachs to join me at 1 o'clock in the morning, I've got no idea. But as always, he was a wonderful and really generous guest. And I thought it might be nice as we mark the 30th anniversary of South Africa's democracy to take a listen to that interview and his reflections from then of where we've come as a country. And again, as I've been talking about this morning, the theme of accents. I don't know what's going on with my accent in this interview. I can only apologise. It's absolutely mortifying. I've got to put it down to the fact that maybe I just moved down from Joburg. It's very, very strange. So ignore my odd accent and take a listen to the always fascinating and erudite Justice Judge Albie Sachs.
I really felt, you know, we South Africans, we beat up on ourselves a lot, and we should take pride in what we've achieved in terms of our democracy, even if the society still has terrible things that afflict it. We've got a very profoundly well-entrenched democracy. And then going back in the past, that was when we were saying, starting with Oliver Tambo in Zambia, Zambian troops surrounding the building where we're speaking, discussing a Bill of Rights, in case commandos come from South Africa to take us out. And he was opposed to group rights, racial groups being represented by people of their own race or ethnicity or language in Parliament as such, called power sharing. And he insisted on the vision that's now become the basic vision of our country. But also, we were very concerned. We'd lived in countries where people had fought heroically for freedom and then afterwards gone on to become very authoritarian. They were giving us a lot of support, but we didn't want that to happen in South Africa. So we built in lots of checks and balances into the constitutional vision that we had, and they're working.
Judge Albie, you've touched on it just there, but you are frequently lauded, it says, being the architect of democratic South Africa's constitution. But you yourself have said, and you've just mentioned there, that, you know, Oliver Tambo had such a great deal to do with this. And if it were to be traced, that the DNA of the constitution would belong to your late comrade. Can you talk more on that and his involvement in those
very
early days?
Yes, you know, I love asking audiences in South Africa, if you did a paternity test on the Constitution, whose DNA would come up? And they say Mandela, say no, de Klerk, no, you, no. It was Oliver Tambo. And it was a vision that he had of looking at the essential humanity of all South Africans and constructing a constitutional order around that rather than on racial groups. And he was the proponent of a Bill of Rights going together with majority rule, ordinary democracy. So he was the architect, if you like, of the Constitution. I helped with some of the drawings, but there were hundreds of us who worked at different stages. And I think it's important to see that continuity. And, you know, many people think, oh, it was such an easy walk in the park that the marvelous Mandela got together with the wise de Klerk and they did a deal and they turned to the lawyers and said, give us a constitution. It took us 6 years. There were breakdowns, rolling mass action. Chris Hani was assassinated. RVB attacked the building. We almost very, very nearly had an army coup. And we had walkouts, last minute changes to the constitution. But we got it in the end. It was a 6-year long, intense process with enormous involvement and inclusion. And I think that's why it has stood up so well. I was rather skeptical of a Bill of Rights in the early years. And I was persuaded by the ANC, by Oliver Tambo in particular, that in South African circumstances, that was the way to protect so-called minorities against being treated in an arbitrary way, not because they were minorities, but because they were human beings and they'd be treated the same way as majorities, minorities, rich, poor, or black, white, or brown. That's the essence of our new constitutional arrangement.
Take us back, if you will, and you mention it in the book. You describe it as your pinch me moment. You and Carter Asmal sitting at his kitchen table. It's Dublin in 1988. And you've been tasked by the ANC Constitutional Committee to come up with a draft outline of the fundamental themes for a Bill of Rights for a new South Africa. You realize at that moment the significance of what you were doing?
Absolutely. You know, I'd just come out of hospital. We'd had a conference in Lusaka in March 1988. In April 88, I'm blown up. I lose an arm, sight of an eye. Then there's several weeks and months of recovery and learning to walk and to write with my left hand. And I get a message that the ANC Constitutional Committee will meet in London so that I can join them. And then the task is given to me to work with Carter Asmal on producing the first draft of a Bill of Rights for democratic South Africa. And I always say, you know, talk about physiotherapy and occupational therapy. For a lawyer to write the first draft of your country's constitutional core, or your constitution, was just fantastic. And we, instead of denouncing, we'd been denouncing apartheid, now we're building, we're creating. We had the Freedom Charter, but the charter was just like a vision, a set of claims. And these had to be converted into instruments of government for a future South Africa. And I really felt, gosh, is this really happening? Is it me? It was on the kitchen table in Carter and Louise Asmal's home in Dublin. I always thought it was a wooden table, but apparently it was a plastic table. I asked for a clean sheet of paper, a pen, no books, no documents. A Bill of Rights has got to just surge from inside you. It's these basic themes that every human being is entitled to. I jotted down about 10. Then we checked it against the Universal Declaration and so on. They were all there.
I'm speaking to Justice Albie Sachs about his latest book, We the People. And we'd love to take your calls on this. Any comments that you have, any questions, 021-446-0567. You can tweet us at Cape Talk or send us your SMSs on 31567. Judge Albie, you mentioned just there, and of course, we know what happened in Mozambique after that day in 1988 in Maputo. How did you carry on believing in a cause for which you fought so strongly after such a significant moment in your life? How does one continue with that fight and that hope in one's heart?
You know, Sarah, the freedom fighters are waiting every day, every night. Will they come for me? Will I be brave? Will I get through? And they'd come for me and I'd survived. I felt triumphant once I discovered that I'd survived, when I discovered what was happening. And I felt a sense of joy and also a total conviction as I got better, my country would get better. It wasn't based on evidence. It was just a deep, deep, deep conviction. So far from being some kind of monstrous near fatality that almost crushed me, I saw it as a great moment of survival and getting through, and it gave me an enormous sense of confidence. And then the love I got from comrades and for other people, the nurses looking after me, bathing my wounds, all of these things helped me to heal very, very quickly.
Let's bring things into the present day now. The country is still facing enormous challenges. There's growing dissatisfaction among South Africans from all walks of life. Do you feel that the Constitution, as was originated then, as it began then in those back in the days and the foundations of the Constitution, has it done what it set out to achieve? Is there more to do? And on whose shoulders does the responsibility lie to ensure that it's done?
I think that's a very important question, because the Constitution does not set out to build homes, provide jobs, combat racism, reduce inequalities. That's not what the Constitution does. That's what we the people are responsible for, using the authorities and the powers and the controls the Constitution gives us. What the Constitution provides is a set of principles and institutions to ensure our society is open, people can speak their minds, government is accountable, we have an independent judiciary, we have a lively press. That's what the Constitution does. And I think these elements, these institutions, are really coming out in a shiny manner, particularly in this last year. And people, South Africans, speak their minds. We are not a coward. We are not a frightened people. So that all has to do with the central character of our Constitution, which I might mention as well includes social and economic rights, calls upon the government progressively to realize those rights. It's a very progressive, emancipatory Constitution in its quality and character, but it's not the Constitution itself that does those things. It provides us with the mechanisms to do those things.
Absolutely. Now, your experience, it speaks to a process that the country's going through right now, reconciliation, finding a way forward. You've just touched on that, but are we as South Africans doing enough to make sure that the country is a good place for everybody? And if not, how do we get back to that sense that we had those years ago when yourself and Kadar Ashmal were scratching out these foundations of the Constitution? How do we get back to that sense of South Africa as a country and it being the country for everybody? It's everybody's South Africa.
Well, all I can say is that I will contribute as much as I can by telling the stories of people like Oliver Tambo, their vision, producing what really is a remarkable African document pioneered by African thinkers, African intellectuals, in touch with a large swathes of the community, and the importance of integrity. Personal integrity, political integrity, institutional integrity. I think that's what any country needs at all times. And these are the issues that are being hotly debated in the country today. And I see lots of positives in the last year together with the negatives, but people are speaking out and the courts are doing their jobs, the work given to them by the Constitution. We had the institution, very, very unusual in constitutions, to have a chapter dealing with institutions to protect democracy. So it's the Independent Electoral Commission. I mean, more people voted in our local government elections, a higher percentage in South Africa than in the presidential elections in America. So we really have meaningful elections here, and the IEC did a superb job. The public protector became one of our most famous individuals of all time. So I think it's institutions like that, and maybe memories of the strongest idealism and values of past struggles can help us to deal with the problems of corruption, the problems of lack of integrity, the problems of public mistrust, deal with them in a way that can be very productive and very positive.